You're listening to Severance by Andy Evans. Chapter 6, The Incongruous Suit. As he entered the town, Maldwyn saw a sight that no one on this moon ever dreamt they would see. A makeshift gallows stood in the town square with six bodies hanging limply silhouetted against the sky. Instantly, a wave of nausea washed over him. Was this his doing? Was he the reason six people had been hanged? Had the storm riders found the bodies of the two men he killed and decided to take ugly, brutal revenge on six innocents? Three citizens for each storm rider? It seemed disproportionate, but then so did the idea of rogue outlaws landing on the moon and taking control of Severance itself. He approached with trepidation. He wanted to look away, but at the same time his eyes were drawn to the macabre marionettes dangling from an invisible puppet master's strings. They moved very little, apart from the wind-induced swinging. Even then, it was only a fraction of an inch. His horror increased as he realized this was a worse situation than he first thought. Two of the victims were mere children. One of them was a woman. He finally turned away. He couldn't believe that the outlaws had acted so rapidly in response. How long had he been gone? He'd stayed a while at the farm as he took tea, but it was only a couple of hours. It was long enough to rig up makeshift gallows, long enough to pick victims, and long enough to end the lives of six people, it seemed. He was sick. Sick to the core, knowing that these people had paid the price for his actions. A shot rang out, narrowly missing Maldwyn as he stood rigid in response. Three riders appeared and aimed their guns at him.
"You! Where have you come from?"
demanded one particularly bullish rider.
"I was on a delivery run," replied Maldwyn. "What's happened?"
"Shut up, scum. You don't ask us questions,"
the second rider interjected.
"Tell us now and we'll be merciful. What do you know about the killings earlier?"
"Nothing. I don't know anything."
A fist smashed into his nose, shattering bone and sending blood spurting across the sandy floor as he toppled to his knees.
"Don't lie to us, scum. You know who killed our men."
Maldwyn merely glared at the riders and wiped blood from his mouth.
"Five men don't get killed on a moon this size and no one know nothing about it."
"Five?" asked a confused Maldwyn. "Five of your men died?"
"You stupid! Don't your garam ears work right?"
"No, I mean, yes, they do. I just didn't know anything about this," he claimed,
which wasn't entirely a lie. After all, they said five men. He'd only dispatched two. Someone else had killed another three men. Someone else was kicking back against the outlaws.
A well-placed boot in the face was followed by a series of kicks to the torso, and Maldwyn lost awareness of his surroundings.
He couldn't think straight suddenly. All he could do was curl up into a fetal position to try to protect himself, but the three riders brought their gun butts down on him repeatedly, kicking him, punching him. The frenzied assault continued on and on until everything went black for Maldwyn. And then there was nothing. He was gone. Nothing remained but a bloodied and disfigured corpse. They didn't kill Maldwyn because of his involvement in the killings of the fellow riders. They killed him because they could, and because of their rage. They were going to walk away and leave him where he was laying, just rotting there in the sun. He was no longer a concern of theirs, at least that's what they thought, right up to the moment the judge came across the street. He took one single look at the corpse, saw his men, drew his pistol and fired three times. Each bullet found a mark. One bullet per rider. The first held his wrist as blood dripped to the floor. The second hit in the bicep. The third crawling on the floor as the bullet hit his leg.
"Idiots! Who told you to start killing these people? How'd you know he wasn't the person we're looking for?"
"We didn't think."
"Too damn right you didn't think.
But Judge, you said we could take him in dead or alive. This way at least we could still have him dead."
"It's not your decision to make. You're expendable. Now pick up that corpse. Throw it somewhere we can identify it if we have to. I don't want him rotting in this sun so we can't recognize him."
Two of the three riders picked him up and struggled to move him. Eventually, all that was left was a crimson stain soaking into the dirt where he'd fallen. Judge stormed into the sheriff's office, and they carried Malwin in after him for safekeeping. The chaos of the last few days had disrupted the lives of everyone on Severance, and the lawlessness of the storm riders had thrown normality to the four winds. In the ensuing chaos, one man had literally slipped in under the radar, and the rest of the inhabitants were almost completely unaware of his presence. He was the man who'd flown in with the last batch of workers. The man in the incongruous suit. Whereas others wore clothing practically suited for life on a farming planet, this man wore a black suit, a grey shirt, and a black tie. His features were sharp, angular. His receding hair was cropped neatly. His face never cracked a smile. His eyes, cold and uninviting. He carried an attaché case, permanently affixed to his wrist by a chain with a digitally locking cuff. The others on the shuttle assumed that he was not joining the Moon's community as a fellow worker, but he was traveling to the same destination as them on some other business. He could have been a banker, businessman, possibly even a representative of the Alliance itself. Though the Alliance had shown little interest in their planet since it had established its independence from Blue Sun. Maybe some had thought he was from the Health and Safety Executive. After all, someone needed to check the spaceworthiness of their freighters, or to tell them that some impending legislation would affect the lives of all and sundry. One thing was certain. On his arrival, he stood out like a sore thumb. This man was not for this moon. He had an air about him. An aura. Like others on the same journey, he'd been assigned a small apartment on his arrival. In the privacy of his own rooms, he set about resting until his purpose could be served. At all times, the attaché case remained in his possession. It was locked to his wrist. As the storm riders raised hell on Severance, he simply sat, biding his time alone in his rooms. So solitary, people forgot he was there. He didn't venture out. He didn't order any food or drink. He merely occupied his rooms. Until today. He was sat in an armchair, with his right arm over the side of the chair, the case resting on the floor. Suddenly, the silence of the apartment was broken as a low-sounding alarm buzzed within the case. A blue LED flashed alongside the handle, and the man lifted the case to his lap. This was the sign he'd been waiting for. The clasp securing the case to his wrist opened, releasing the man from its grasp. Now he would discover why he'd been sent to Severance. Now he could finally gain access to the case. The case which contained his mission brief. His blue-gloved hands smartly and deftly played upon the combination lock of the case. To have used this combination before the alarm would have resulted in the case exploding and destroying everyone and everything within its immediate vicinity. He'd remain in a constant state of readiness, uncertain as to when the alarm would actually come. Now he would be free to explore the instructions he'd been given. Instructions that he could not and would not question. Instructions that he would obey completely, even if it demanded his own death. This moment was the moment he lived for. With a sharp inhalation of breath, he finally lifted the lid of the case and peered inside. A smile spread across his face for the first time. That smile looked even more out of place than he had on the transport to the moon itself. But this, for him, was pure glee. He'd been given one of his favorite assignments, terminate with extreme prejudice. There was a folder inside that contained a number of items ranging from a typed sheet with details to be memorized and destroyed to a photo of his intended victim. By examining the contents, he was able to form a picture of his victim's prior life and current lifestyle. He knew it would be relatively easy to find his target on such a small moon with a limited population. He could effect his mission and retreat easily within the allotted time frame. But there was still one thing missing. He never worked alone. His partner would soon be arriving in their ship. There was no doubt in his mind that he too would have been alerted at the same time and would follow shortly. To date, he had not seen nor discussed matters with anyone else. He hadn't made contact with another soul here on Severance. But it was only a matter of time. For the moment he would wait, he would be contacted. He looked down at the picture of his victim once again and began to formulate a plan for the termination of his victim, calculating an effective and efficient exit strategy. Everything was coming together. You've been listening to Severance by Andy Evans. Chapter 6, The Incongruous Suit. The music featured in this podcast has been provided courtesy of Magnatunes.com. Tracks come from Shira Carman's album Mistral and from Claire Fitch's album Ambient Cellist. Listen again for our next chapter of Severance, coming soon.